Thank you for joining me today, coast to coast on the broadcast and around the world on the podcast. This week, we're talking about the intertestamental period, that is the stretch of over 400 years of history between the Bible's Old Testament book of Malachi and the Bible's New Testament book of Matthew. We call this, for obvious reasons, the intertestamental period. On Monday, I highlighted some of what went on in world history during this time, and yesterday we discussed events that impacted the Jewish people and the nation of Israel in these four centuries. Today, I want to zero in on the development of a group of men we hear a lot about in the Gospels, especially as they constitute one of Jesus' fiercest enemies. And these are the Pharisees. The Pharisees. If you've read much of the Gospels, then you've heard of them. And what do you know about them? Maybe you already know them very well. Maybe not. What I want to do is to give you my top 10 facts about the Pharisees and to show you how they emerge out of this intertestamental period. But just before I get to fact number one, let me give you a little flavor of the interaction between Jesus and the Pharisees from the Gospel of Matthew. This will show you what they thought of Jesus and how Christ responded to them. I'm reading in Matthew chapter 12, verses 9 through 14. This is Matthew 12, beginning at verse 9. Departing from there, Jesus went into their synagogue. And a man was there whose hand was withered, and they questioned Jesus, asking, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So that they might accuse Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "What man is there among you who has a sheep? And if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? So then it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then Jesus said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and it was restored to normal, like the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against Jesus as to how they might destroy him. I've just read Matthew 12, verses 9 through 14, and what this demonstrates for us is that the Pharisees were so committed to the law, not working on the Sabbath, that they placed the law above Jesus healing this man's hand. But Jesus told them, "It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Well, this so destroyed the Pharisees' religious system in front of the other Jews that they became hostile to Jesus to the point where they began plotting to kill Jesus. The text says the Pharisees conspired against Jesus as to how they might destroy him. Now, this very encounter, how the Pharisees built their system and how Jesus tore it all down, has its roots in this intertestamental period I've been telling you about. So let's explore this together. And you will hopefully remember, if you were here on Monday, that I told you about Alexander the Great. He was born in 356 BC and speedily conquered great lands and empires until his death in 323 BC. Well, one of the significant results of Alexander's reign is that he managed to Hellenize much of the world at that time. And you're probably like, "Hellenize? What does that mean?" Hellenize? You mean like Helen, the woman's name? Actually, one of my grandmothers was named Helen. Seriously, that was her name. But no, that is not what I mean. Helene. Hellene, Helene, means Greek. And Alexander, who was tutored by the Greek Aristotle, implemented a policy of Hellenization. Hellenization, that is to make the world more Greek, to transform the cultures he conquered and to make them far more Greek in their worldview, in their philosophy, and in their way of thinking and living. This Hellenistic influence was widely popular, especially after the death of Alexander the Great. And guess who this affected? Yes, the Jews. Hellenization affected the Jews. For example, you might also remember from Monday that in 255 BC, the Hebrew Old Testament was translated into Greek and called the Septuagint. So there we see Hellenization, that is, Greek language, influencing the Hebrew Bible. This took place during the intertestamental period. And when Hellenistic elements moved in on Judaism, there was a loosening up of the law of God. You see, some Jews began to accommodate Hellenism, but there were other Jews who stood up to it, rejected its influence, and put strict boundaries around God's law, especially the circumcision of male children and the Sabbath. And this group of Israelites intensified the study of the Torah, the law of God found in our Bibles in the Pentateuch, the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And this was likely the beginning of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were holy ones. They were the separated, which is the meaning of Pharisee. They do not go along with Hellenism. They stand up to it. They separate from it. These men interpreted the law in strict accordance with their own understanding of it, and then they demanded the other Jews accept their interpretation and follow exactly how they practiced the law in their lives. They superimposed what they believed on everyone else. They were a minority, small in number, of the Jewish people, but they enjoyed popularity among the majority of the Jewish people in the time of Christ. So what I hope you get out of this is that the way they began, it's hardly with bad intention. These were men who wanted to preserve God's law and be obedient to God by living the way he said to live. They wanted to obey all of God's commands. And to do that, they felt they needed to stand up firmly against Hellenism and Hellenization. They needed to keep these Greek elements of thinking and living that would otherwise poison God's commandments out of the law. Now, of course, as we shall see with Jesus, they took this way too far. But it is my view that the Pharisees deserve some sympathy from us when we understand where they emerged from or how they began. I mean, do not we also today want to be obedient to God, to do what he says to do, to live holy lives? And in order to do that, don't we have to take a stand against the culture that is ravaging God's holy commandments? Yes, we do. Christians must do this. This is the way we need to live, holy lives in an unholy society. In order to love Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, we want to obey God's commandments. All of them. Both by how we live as Christians and by what we teach others, we go against the prevailing dominant culture of our time. We're standing with God over the God-haters and God-deniers. By the grace of Christ and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we are living lives in obedience with the Lord's divine commands. This is a good thing, not a bad thing. But like the Pharisees, we can take this too far and be legalistic and very judgmental of others. We can, if we are not careful, put ourselves in the place of God, so that what starts off with good intentions and pure motive can quickly spiral into bad intentions with impure and sinful motive, as is what happened to the Pharisees, and why Jesus is so critical of them. And why God will be critical of us if we become Pharisaical in how we live today, at present, in our families, in our communities, in our churches, and in the world. And again, we see exactly this in Matthew 12, which I read earlier. The Pharisees were so obsessed with the law of the Sabbath that when Jesus dared to heal this man's withered hand on the Sabbath, they conspired against Jesus so they might destroy him. Now that is anger. That is being legalistic to the point where they missed who Jesus is. Jesus is their Messiah, the very Son of God. God in human flesh is standing right in front of them. They can reach out and touch Jesus, but they're blinded by their own interpretation of God such that they miss him. How tragic this was. And is. I fear that you may have grown up or been part of a legalistic church as an adult, and that has had a deep negative impact on you. Almost always, when I am speaking with someone who has major problems with the church, or even a man or woman who hates God, this matter of legalistic Christians and churches comes bubbling up to the surface quickly. I've lost count of the number of people who want no part of being Christian, and or attending a church that they perceive to be quote-unquote, too legalistic. And this then becomes problematic for all of us, because at what point do we cross the line between upholding God's holy law and becoming like the Pharisees? Could it be that I have become too legalistic? That is, in my desire to live a holy life and to teach God's holiness to others and urge compliance from others to God's way of living in Jesus, that I have come across, that I have been heard as being people's judge, as taking the place of God in their lives, and therefore I have been a part of ruining people's understanding of who God is? I think all of us need to pause and think very soberly about this, not just me. How do you come across to people? How does your church present itself to people in your community? Would you be willing to think critically about this with me? Most Christians would never want to intentionally rob anyone of the opportunity to truly know God, to be a part of a church, and to grow in personal holiness in the power of the Holy Spirit who fills every believer. But sometimes we can be like the Pharisees. With this, we need to pay careful attention to Jesus and his teaching, and we need to heed his response to the so-called holy ones, the so-called separated ones, the people we know as the Pharisees. That is what I am getting at today. And I hope that those of you who are Christians who are listening to me will think about this, will pray about this, and perhaps will even discuss this with your fellow believers in your family and in your churches. I hope that I am effectively giving you the context into which the Pharisees began. It is during the intertestamental period as they respond to Hellenism. There is a lot to chew on for today, and when you come back tomorrow, without being pharisaical, I'll say more about the Pharisees as we continue to discover, by the grace of God, who he is.